Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I know that somebody asked you this before, but how many of you are here for the first time? Well, today is a special day in your life because you have come to a very special place where pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. Now, what is the significance of that fact? The significance is that we are each allotted a certain duration of life. From the moment we are born, we are allotted a certain number of breaths. And therefore, at least previously, yogis in India could live very long lives, hundreds of years, if not more, by controlling their breathing. There's a story of one devotee who would breathe once every 6 months. So our duration of life is fixed. And although people take action to prolong their lives and avoid death, which is natural, and in a way required for ordinary people. But the fact is that we cannot extend the duration of our life by one breath. So the question is, how do we use our time? Because how we use our time really means how we use our life. Our life is the most precious asset we have. Generally speaking, a person will spend any amount of money to prolong his life. In fact, there was a gag or joke with a comedian named Jack Benny, who had a persona of being very miserly. So in this gag, which was broadcast on the radio as part of his program, a hoodlum comes up to him and pulls a gun on him and says, "Your money or your life?" And Jack Bunny says, "Come on now, put that thing away." He said, "No, I'm serious. Your money or your life?" And there was silence. And that hoodlum became very angry, and I said, "Sir, I said your money or your life? And Jack Benny replied, just wait a minute, I'm thinking about it. Now, the reason we laugh is because money is valuable, but not as valuable as our life. In fact, our money has value only as long as we're alive. So that's how valuable our life is. And Chanakya Pandit, the great intellectual, moral teacher of India, remarked that at the time of death, you cannot prolong your life, or you cannot buy back a moment of time with any amount of money. No amount of money. You can be ready to spend any amount of money, but you cannot buy back any time that you lost, or buy any extra time. So our time, our life, which is composed of our time, is extremely valuable. It's really all we have. And therefore we should think very carefully how we shall use our time to get the best advantage. Srila Prabhupada had a friend in Bombay who was a very big businessman, very shrewd businessman. In fact, he had been the wealthiest man in the province of Sindh before partition of India and Pakistan. And his personal residence, which was called Mota Palace, was, at the time of partition, was taken by the government of Pakistan and given to the Jinnah family. And anyway, I won't elaborate more. He was a very wealthy person. And R.D. Birla, who was, you know, one of the four Birla brothers, which was the wealthiest family in India, then he gave his daughter in marriage to Mr. Mota. So, Srila Prabhupada was very expert at presenting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in the terms that a person could understand and appreciate, the language he could appreciate. So Mr. Mota was a businessman, and every businessman has to pay attention to the accounts, otherwise you can't run the business. And Mr. Mota, when I visited him in his office, he had a huge office, and like so many tables with accountants. And he said that different businessmen have different philosophies of accountants. Some like their accountants to do just what they say, without asking questions or making comments. But others want their accountants to actually make suggestions, question them, and express their views. And Mr. Mota said he was in the second category. So I'm sure that Mr. Mota never discussed his philosophy of accountants with Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada could understand. He's a businessman and he's keeping accounts. And so he told Mr. Mota that in the ledger of your life, there are two columns, profit and loss. And every moment that you use in Krishna consciousness is profit. And every moment that you use outside of Krishna consciousness is loss. So naturally, any businessman wants to maximize his profits and minimize his losses. Now, this is what Srila Prabhupada has said, what our wise people have said, and what scripture says. But someone might question, what is the value of chanting and hearing about Krishna? In fact, there are people who think that this is loss, and who think that enjoying sense gratification is gain. In fact, sometimes it happens that in a couple, one person shows interest in Krishna consciousness more than the other, and the other begins to feel very insecure. Of course, there could be misunderstandings of Krishna consciousness, but one possibility is simply that a person doesn't want to give up his or her sense gratification. Now, in Krishna consciousness, the first lesson, I mean, I would say the first lesson in life, is who you are. And thus the first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita is that you're not the body, but you are the Atma, the Jivatma, the soul within the body. And this body is just like a dress. It's not you. So, which is more important, the body or the dress? Of course, the body is more important. But the body is itself a dress for the soul. That's the meaning of the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, that the body is just like dress. And our dress has a shape. It has a form, it has arms, because the body has arms. So that means the body, which is dressed for the soul, that means the soul also has shape, it has a form, but it's spiritual, it's not material. And just as a person discards his old and worn clothes and gets new clothes to wear, similarly, when the body becomes old and useless, the soul discards it and takes on a new body. So, what is the difference? What is the relative importance between the body and the clothes? The clothes are not very important, it's the body. So similarly, what is the comparison between the body and the soul? The soul is much more important because bodies come and go, but the soul remains. But as long as we are in ignorance of our actual identity, that we're not the body, but we are the soul, which is part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Soul, we act for the benefit of the body. This is illusion or maya. And most people are in ignorance. They identify with the body and they work for the benefit of the body. which is a total waste of time without Krishna consciousness. Another example that Srila Prabhupada gave is the bird in the cage. The bird lives in a cage, like we're living in the body, and you may get a beautiful golden cage and polish it so it's shining and fill it with diamonds and rubies and emeralds and valuable jewels and gems and perfume it with fragrant oils and incense and flowers and everything. But if you don't feed the bird, will the bird be happy? No. You have to feed the bird. What's the use of polishing the cage and neglecting to feed the bird? The bird will just get weaker and weaker, suffer more and more. So the body is like a cage, and we, the soul, are like the bird in the cage. In fact, we will be more happy when we're free, when we leave the cage and can fly wherever we like. And of course, spiritually, when we are liberated, we're completely free. But even in the material world, there are higher planets, Siddha Loka, where the residents naturally have mystic powers. Here one can develop mystic powers by the practice of yoga. But on Siddha Loka, people all are born with mystic powers, and they can fly anywhere they like. They can fly from planet to planet. And Srila Prabhupada said, just like we like to go for a drive in the country and just park the car somewhere in the country and enjoy nature, they fly in outer space. And they just find some nice place in outer space and they stop and they enjoy their time in outer space. So that degree of freedom is possible even within the material world. Even within a physical body, the residents of Siddha Loka, they have material bodies, but they have mystic powers. They have realize that potential for freedom even within the material world. So what to speak of when we're out of the material world? Then we enjoy complete freedom. So the bird in the cage, first of all, needs to be fed. So the soul needs to be fed. And what is the food for the soul? It is this: chanting and hearing about Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, discussing Bhagavad Gita, serving Krishna. That is the food for the soul. And that food will make the bird so strong that he'll be able, upon leaving the cage of the body at the time of death, he'll be able to leave the material world altogether with all the miseries of material life and the repetition of birth, death, old age and disease, and he'll be able to fly back home, back to Godhead. So that is a worthy goal. That is a worthy destination. Because again, how we use our time will depend on our goal. But if we become free from that illusion, that ignorance that I'm the body, then And we know that our actual identity is as spirit soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Soul of Krishna, eternal servant of Krishna. Then we will use our time, we will direct our efforts towards realizing our eternal blissful life with Krishna. And then this association becomes extremely critical, because it is in the association of such devotees that we can chant and hear about Krishna. Now, Krishna is transcendental. His name is transcendental. We can chant and hear about him anywhere. We don't have to come to the temple. But the fact is that unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, he or she needs the association of devotees. Because the mind is so conditioned to going here and there, taking us here and there in the pursuit of sense gratification or mental speculation, we need the association of devotees to focus, to help us focus our mind. And the other day I gave the example to someone who wanted to chant, who had experience chanting 16 rounds a day, and who had experienced the happiness of chanting 16 rounds a day, and who was experiencing the misery of not chanting 16 rounds a day. And I suggested chanting in the association of devotees, because the mind is such that it will always tell us that there are more important things to do than chant Hare Krishna. We sit down to chant Hare Krishna, and in practically no time at all, the mind is saying, you know, there's this and this and this and that, and they're all more important than chanting Hare Krishna. You can chant Hare Krishna anytime. And what does it matter if you chant or not? But you will. You'll chant later. Like, manana, manana, manana. And we follow the mind. And we're off somewhere else. So chanting with the devotees is very good. Because they will help you to focus. And even if you can't come to the temple, you should have your own group. It can be with your own family members or other devotees, neighbors, friends. Have your own group that supports you in your chanting. If you call a devotee friend and say, okay, let's chant Hare Krishna together for an hour. And the friend comes over, you go to the friend's house. And a few minutes later, your mind is saying, oh, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. You have to do this, you have to do that. Well, you won't very easily just stop chanting and do what your mind says, because it'll be very embarrassing. I mean, you'll be completely exposed as being a servant of your mental concoctions rather than a servant of the holy name. And of course, chanting with devotees who have faith, who have taste, that also helps us to develop faith and taste. So this association is very important. First, to overcome the ignorance, the illusion that binds us to the material world. And second, to take up the process that will free us or liberate us from this bondage. So those of you who've come for the first time, this is a very special occasion. And for those who are here, it should also be a special occasion, because at every moment we have to rededicate ourselves to this process, because the material atmosphere, the association, the modes of nature that surcharge the atmosphere are full of ignorance and passion, and therefore they tend to take us away from our real duty. So I will just read one verse, which sort of, I wouldn't say explains what I just said, but I would say what I just said explains what I'm about to read. And I'll read the purport, because it's so good to hear what Srila Prabhupada has to say. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service. Ayur Harati Vaipunsam. Okay, now listen and repeat. This is a good mental exercise. It's like physically people do exercises. They lift weights to build up their physical strength. So you can also build up your mental strength or intellectual strength by exercising it. Ayur Harati Vaipunsam.
Ayur Harati Vaipunsam.
Udyan Astam Chayan Aso.
Udyan Astam Chayan Aso.
Tasyarte Yakshano Nita.
Tasyarte Yakshano Nita.
Uttama Shloka Vartaya.
Uttama Shloka Vartaya.
Good. Ayu, duration of life.
Duration of life.
Harati,
Harati,
decreases.
Decreases.
Vai,
certainly.
Certainly.
Pumsam,
of the people.
Of the people.
Udyan,
Udyan,
rising.
Rising.
Astam,
Astam,
setting.
Setting.
Cha,
Cha,
also.
Also.
Yan,
Yan,
moving.
Moving.
Asau,
Asau,
the sun.
The sun.
Tasya,
Tasya,
of one who glorifies the Lord.
Of one who glorifies the Lord.
Rite,
Rite,
accept.
Yat,
by whom? Kshana,
time.
Nita,
utilized.
Uttama Shloka,
the all good personality of
Godhead.
Vartaya,
in the topics of.
Both by rising and by setting,
the,
Let me read it through once, and then we'll do exactly what you started to do, and we'll read it responsively. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Now, both by rising and by setting. The sun decreases the duration of life.
The sun decreases the duration of life.
Of everyone.
Of everyone.
Except.
One who utilizes the time.
By discussing topics. Of the all good personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Now listen attentively, because I will ask questions. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. What does acceleration mean?
Speed is increasing with time.
Yes. It means to go faster. So, this verse confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. In other words, you have to put your foot on the gas. You got to go faster. You just can't keep, you know, putzing around. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness, because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. How many people in this room want to be happy? Everyone does. So this verse and purport are meant for you, because it tells you how you can become permanently happy. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness, because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. It's just like a fish out of water. If you take a fish out of water, no matter, same example, you put the fish in a golden bowl and fill it with diamonds and rubies and emeralds, the fish will not be happy, because the fish is out of its element. The fish will be happy only in water. So we are spiritual creatures. We are out of our element in the material world. We can be happy only back in our element, in the spiritual realm. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and His name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with Him. Once a person comes in contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately open. In other words, the Lord is absolute, and any part of Him is equal to the whole of Him. That means His name is Krishna, His form is Krishna, His qualities are Krishna, His pastimes are Krishna, His paraphernalia is Krishna, His entourage is Krishna. They're all Krishna. So any way you come in contact with Krishna, whether by chanting His holy names, hearing His topics from the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, seeing the deity with faith and devotion, serving the deity with faith and devotion, they all connect you with Krishna, the whole of Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words. Endeavors in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. So, everyone in the material world is afraid because they identify with the body. Whatever we have to fear pertains to the body. We're afraid of getting sick. We're afraid of getting old. We're afraid of losing our money or losing our jobs, losing our homes, losing our car. I mean, it's all related to the body, all of our fears. And even spiritually, the greatest fear of a living entity would be, or of a human being, would be to fall down into a lower species. So the more we come out of this ignorance of identifying with the body and identify ourselves as spiritual, the more we become free from fear. And even that, the spiritual fear of having to take birth in a lower species, which is, it is a possibility for people who identify with the body and engage in ordinary sinful activities. It's a very real possibility. But if you even make a beginning in devotional service, the Lord is so kind, He'll give you a chance to continue your advancement in the next life in a human body. So even a little beginning protects you from that fear. So we should begin. And once begun, we should accelerate. But begin. Every journey begins with the first step, so just make a beginning. Take the first step, then take the second, then the third, and pretty soon you'll have progressed quite a distance. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord, injected through the ear of the pure devotee of the Lord, can act very efficiently. Like if someone has some deficiency, vitamin deficiency, they can take, supplements orally. But if they're really in bad shape, if they really need an infusion, then they get an injection. And then, right away, they feel the effects. So, hearing the topics of the personality of Godhead in the association of pure devotees is highly potent. And it acts just like a drug injected intravenously. And therefore this association is so important. And having the right mood of reception is important. Because Prabhupada says, through the ear of the pure devotee, that means you all are expected, I mean, to get the full effect, the quickest benefit, to be pure devotees. Which means not that you're immediately free from all taints of material contamination, but it means that the goal of your life is to revive your relationship with Krishna. And you're doing whatever you can to revive your eternal relationship with Him. Oral reception of the transcendental message implies total realization. Just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. This realization, for a moment, in the association of pure devotees, like Shukadeva Goswami, prepares one's complete life for eternity. And thus the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life. Inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. In other words, the rising and setting of the sun decreases the life of everyone, except for pure devotees who engage their time in topics of the personality of Godhead. Because instead of coming closer to death, they're coming closer to their eternal life. So they're not afraid. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. The materialistic way of pious activities like charity is recommended in the Smriti Shastras as quoted by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now this part of the purport, which is the concluding section, is very important because it can be understood on two levels. One is how to gain materially, and the other is how to gain spiritually. So, people who want to gain materially can also get some good instructions from this purport. Not that anyone here is in that category. Jai Shishir Adakala Chandi Ki Jai Shishir Adakai Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Paladev Subhadra Ki Jai. So we will just finish up and then, phew, this is also very potent. Okay, now listen. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. I recently heard a talk in which Srila Prabhupada said that if you give in charity to an ordinary person, that person has to pay you back fourfold in the next life. So from a certain point of view, giving in charity is a good business. Because whatever you give in charity comes back to you. It doesn't matter who you give it to. But there's a catch, which I will explain in a few sentences. If the money is given in charity to a non-Brahman without brahminical qualifications, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. If the money is given in charity to a half-educated Brahmin, even then the money is returned double. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified Brahmin, the money is returned 100 and 1,000 times. Can anyone repeat what I just read? Who's been paying attention? Yes, sir. Yes. 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 Okay. If the money is given to a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, that means a pure devotee, it is returned by unlimited multiplications. So if you give your money to a fully realized soul, a pure devotee, what happens? It's returned by unlimited multiplications. In other words, you go back home, back to Godhead, because there's nothing in the material world that can repay you. Once when Srila Prabhupada came to Bombay, Juhu, he had just come from Hong Kong, and the devotees had rented, I think, the penthouse of the fanciest hotel in Hong Kong, and they had received Srila Prabhupada with a Rolls Royce, and they invited the press. And one of the reporters asked Srila Prabhupada, you're supposed to be a spiritual person, and you're riding in a Rolls Royce. So Srila Prabhupada replied, I wasn't there, but when he got to Bombay, he told me about the exchange he'd had. Srila Prabhupada replied that the spiritual master is the representative of God, and in the spiritual world, everything is made of spiritual gems, which fulfill everyone's desires in every respect. So he said, actually, they should have received me in a carriage made of spiritual gems. Even a Rolls Royce made of solid gold wouldn't have been good enough. But this was all they offered, so I had to accept it. And then Srila Prabhupada said to me, with envious people, what else can you say? So unlimited multiplications means you have your ticket back home, back to Godhead. The ultimate end of Vedic knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vaidaishcha Sayavar Aham Eva Vedya. That's confirming that Veda Paraga means a realized pure devotee of Krishna. There is a guarantee of money being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental message of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. Madhama gatva purna janma navidyate. So therefore I said this is a very special occasion. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. So this is also an important point, because janma mritu jara vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease are concomitant factors of material life. As soon as we have a material body, it means repeated birth and death and disease, and if we're able to live long enough, old age. And we can't avoid them. But when they come, instead of being a discouragement, as they are for ordinary people, because it becomes an impediment to their sense gratification, instead of being a discouragement, it becomes an impetus for a devotee to accelerate his or her devotional service so that he or she can approach the eternal life with Krishna that awaits them as soon as they give up this false identification and illusory vain pursuit of sense enjoyment. So there is nothing bad in the life of a devotee. Anything that appears to be bad can actually be an impetus to further advancement in Krishna consciousness. So just repeat that one sentence for the new people. A moment passed in the association of a pure devotee. By hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord, is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. So I congratulate all of you. We've spent more than just a moment, we've spent about an hour in the association of Srila Prabhupada through his writings, the association of a pure devotee, so it's guaranteed. We just have to keep going. Hare Krishna. So, I'll be here for a while. There are other senior devotees, and His Holiness Ratutvaja Swami is due tomorrow, Krishna willing. So we won't have questions and answers now, but we'll be available. And now we'll have kirtan and audience of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Kalachandji ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Gaur Kamandi.